You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It's Tuesday evening, and we are doing a Locked On Wolverines podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire, through USA Today Sports Media Group. And we've got a jam-packed show for you this evening, and I'm really excited to bring it to you. I'm doing it differently than I anticipated, but I'm giving everyone a little bit of a sneak peek at something that's coming down the pike on Friday. But you can have it today because you are loyal Locked On Wolverines listeners, and I'm letting you have the advantage over those who are regular Wolverines Wire readers. And I'm letting you listen to the entirety of my conversation this evening with J.J. McCarthy, Michigan five-star quarterback commitment, because we have something really cool going on at Wolverines Wire, where we're doing a commitment series. My goal is to talk to every single one of Michigan's current 21 commitments this month. I've talked to four so far, and I have time scheduled with like another five. So we're gonna get it done, or we're gonna get close to getting it done. But McCarthy is the way that I want to hook you into it. I didn't want to treat it as your typical J.J. McCarthy, you know, type of interview. I wanted to kind of get to a little bit more of his thought process. So you'll get to know a little bit more about him momentarily. But on top of that, what I want to do, obviously, is talk about the Big Ten. And then we're just going to talk a little bit of recruiting as well, in the sense that I met with Will Johnson on Sunday at the SMSB 7-on-7. If you want to call it that, it was kind of more of a camp with a little bit of a 7-on-7 element to it, but it wasn't your typical 7-on-7. So we'll discuss a little bit of that, but let's talk about Big Ten football stuff, because that's prominent right now. On Wolverine's Wire, I'm not exactly allowed to talk about politics. It's not my site specifically. It's the entire network. So we didn't get a chance to talk about Donald Trump, what he did. Now, love him or hate him, and it seems like there's really no in-between there. The guy reached out to Kevin Warren, and they had a conversation, and they're trying to make something happen for Big Ten. And I understand the people that are going to criticize and say it's a self-serving thing for him. You know what? If it ends up getting football done, then who cares, right? And for those who are of the mindset that it can be safely played, which I am of the mindset that it can be safely played, but it requires the things that Trump mentioned in his tweet. Testing, contact tracing. Actually, he might not have been strictly the one who mentioned that. Part of it was just kind of leaks that came out afterwards. For instance, Dan Patrick. Now, if you remember, Dan Patrick said the day before the Big Ten canceled the season that he had heard that 12 of the 14 Big Ten presidents voted against the season, with Iowa and Nebraska voting for a season. Turned out it was 11 of 13, and Ohio State also voted for a season. But keeping in mind that the call happened the next day. So that might have been what the intention was, and Ohio State's new president, Christina Johnson, decided that she was going to vote for football. Now, Dan Patrick came out and said that October 10th is when they're eyeing. And I mean, I think that if you can do it safely, which in my eyes, you have to remove the idea of the football team and the student population as being one and the same. You just do, right? Especially because I feel like student population is going to, people act like the football players are the ones that are going to go out there and be crazy. I think it's the regular students that are, because they're like, you know, this, I'm invincible. This doesn't happen to me. And I think that football, because we've seen they've had to go through those adjusting periods, they've had to go through those protocols, they've had all those types of things that show the seriousness of the disease. They've witnessed a handful of their teammates get COVID. They want, and they, in my opinion, they want the bag, right? They want They want to get out there and prove their mettle so that they can get to the NFL. They don't want to see Alabama go out there and Clemson go out there and have seasons while they sit on the sideline, or rather on the couch, unable to play. I think that there is a seriousness. Is that going to be holistic across all 14 teams, 130-something student-athletes on each team? No. But I think it's going to be the bulk of it. Yes, it only takes a handful of bad actors, but that's the whole thing with the testing, if testing is so much better. I think that, I mean, I've all along said it wasn't, I wasn't against the decision. I'm not saying I was for it either, but I'm for it if it's, hey, we can't do it safely. I just thought that it was premature. And now I think they're seeing that there is a possibility. And I've read more that I read an inside report from Sports Business Journal, David Arand, who said that Clay Travis from Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports, was the one who facilitated the meeting, the phone call between the two, President Trump and Kevin Warren. And all the things that we said about the testing and all of that. And part of it had to do with one of the Big Ten ended up going and hiring a PR firm after all of this, which is shocking that they remained silent for so long. And the person who runs it, she wanted to, I don't remember exactly, but so I'm going to butcher it. I'm not going to say it. I'm just going to tell you, go read it, because I'm just going to butcher it. But nonetheless, that it was a mutual decision to facilitate another talk. Now, how much will this affect presidents? Because the Big Ten needs a 60% vote. And I don't know. Like, but I mean, if you can get data that shows that, hey, we can do it safely, maybe it's enough to sway enough. I've heard pessimism from people that I've talked to close to the program about Schlissel, about facing. Michigan just made the hard decision of laying off 21 people in the athletics department. The rest are taking pay cuts. But I think that to that same degree, I think that if they can find a way to do it safely, I mean, this would be a huge boon for everybody involved. Again, assuming it can be done safely. So we'll see. And there's a parents protest on September 1st, or September 5th, rather. Today's the 1st. At the Big House, they're inviting fans and players, and I'm curious to see how much of a turnout that is. But I know there's a lot of people out there that just scoff at all of this. Listen, don't scoff if you're one of those, because even as much as you know, and like I've am well versed in everything that's going on as far as what's going on with COVID. I'm not, like I've said a million times, I'm not anywhere close to a COVID denier. I think it's a very serious thing. I don't go out without wearing a mask unless it's just for a walk with my dog when I know we're not going to be near 6 feet away from anybody. Hand sanitizer, all that stuff. I take it with a very strong level of seriousness. And I think that there's a way to do this if with robust testing. And I think that if the White House wants to help out, then cool. Do it up. Yeah, so that's that. Let's shift gears. I know I had something else I wanted to touch on, but I can't remember. But we're going to shift gears here. We're going to hear from J.J. McCarthy. I talked to J.J. for almost 20 minutes. You're going to hear first 14 or so minutes of it and get to know a little bit more about J.J. I tried to not make this all just who are you recruiting and whatever. This was done on my phone because I wasn't intending on doing it for a podcast, but I thought it was so good podcast-wise that I wanted everybody to be able to hear it. So we are going to get to that, and then we'll just discuss my thoughts talking with Will Johnson here in a few moments, the five-star from Grosse Pointe, the legacy son of Deion Johnson. We'll discuss a little bit about my conversation with him in a moment. But I do have to tell you, rockauto.com, you guys know how much of a big fan I am of rockauto.com. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. If you go to rockauto.com, you can shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all of the parts available for your for your vehicle, your car or truck. I wanted to say it, vehicle and car and truck at the same time. It didn't work. A vehicle. Right, Locked On in there. How did you hear about us, box, so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, RockAuto.com. All right, let's hear from my interview with J.J. McCarthy again. Excuse the audio quality, this is from my phone, but I wanted y'all to hear it because I feel that you're going to fall even more in love with this guy. What I am not sharing, unfortunately, is the part where he talked, because it was supposed to be off the record. Then he kind of gave a perfect, and I'm probably going to use it in the article, about how much he loves the Michigan fan base and it's the greatest fan base and all of that. So really excited for you to read that part. But you're going to hear the bulk of the interview now. Without further ado, five-star Michigan commit quarterback J.J. McCarthy.
Well, first off, you've been committed for a year and a half now, pretty much. But you've been the vocal leader when it comes to really kind of building this 2021 class. And it seems like more of a tight-knit class than I've seen in my time covering Michigan the last five-plus years. What has kind of been your mindset behind going out there and trying to find these players to play with, and then kind of building it something of a family unit between you guys, or a brotherhood?
So, and you hit that right on the head with everything, with just how close we are. And I would always come up with, like, well, just pick out recruits just from Twitter and watching film, and then, like, even throwing with them at camps and everything. And I always bring them back to Matty Dudek and everything like that. And he would say, awesome, love it, we're going to give him a look. And then he'd shoot back to me, wait.
You still there?
All good. So I would see these recruits at camps and just watching film and just scrolling through Twitter. And I would bring them back and report them to Matty Dudek. And there would be some instances where Matty loves it and just like, well, he loves it every single time, but he'll love a player. He'll be like, okay, we're going to watch him and we're possibly going to offer him and all this stuff. And then he'd sometimes be like, yeah, he's just not our guy. He's not fit for our mold. He's not fit for what we want to do here. Just character traits and everything like that. And I kind of never really understood his philosophy behind it and the whole staff's philosophy until I actually got into the group chat. And we started communicating as a class together, and I was like, oh, now I get it. They're recruiting a certain type of man to come into Michigan, and they believe it's the most successful for them, and we're all going to be able to do our job to make Michigan the most successful. And just in that group chat, like, we're all so similar in so many ways, and I really recognized that and realized that, to where it was like, oh, I get it. He knows what he's doing. He's getting the job done.
And I think that speaks to you as well, in the sense that despite being a five-star, one of the top quarterbacks in the country, you seem to be pretty egoless, and mm-hmm. So what has kind of driven your mentality in the sense of not being, I know you're not on campus yet, but not being that big man on campus type? And not look, and really trying to galvanize a group of people that are from disparate backgrounds, have disparate rankings, and all of that. What kind of goes behind your mentality there?
I mean, I've been blessed to be ranked in the position I am in, and all that. I don't even remember the last time I looked at the rankings. I don't even know what I'm ranked now, but it was, so my goal ever since I was in fifth grade was to win more Super Bowls than Brady. That's been my goal. And when it comes down to stuff like rankings and opinion-based stuff, it's really, okay, is that winning these Super Bowls? Is that really making any sort of impact on the next generation, which I really, that's my definition of success, to be able to make a positive impact on the next generation. And I would kind of look like, I'll put these rankings into perspective and put all the media stuff in perspective as high schoolers and realize that we haven't done anything yet. We haven't done something that's going to make us remembered for 10 plus years. Like, there's so much more that we have to accomplish and have to get done, to where the rankings and that ego that a lot of the five stars get categorized with is something that doesn't even like come to my brain. I mean, five stars, great and everything like that. But I mean, at the end of the day, who remembers who was the third five star of the 2013 class? I'm sure if like we pulled it up, but like, it, you see so many people in the Super Bowl, like they showed the rankings and their stars and stuff. That none of that really matters. It's what you do with it and how you come in and day out.
Now, you've gone from being a five-star at a place where that was relatively uncommon at Nazareth Academy, and now you're down there at IMG Academy, and you're surrounded by a lot of big-name talent. What's that change been like? Because you're not just surrounded by it, you're leading it as the starting quarterback down there. How has that been? And what was it like to get your first game in? Because I believe you had your first game this last weekend, didn't you?
It's actually coming up this Friday.
Oh, it's coming up this Friday. Okay. What has it all been like for you to go to a new school with the high-end talent it has and take charge of a huddle?
I mean, it's one of those things where you come in there and the rankings do a lot for you. I mean, when I came in, they gave me it gave me a little respect coming in, and other players respected me for that. But it was what I did once I was there and how down to earth I am. And just, I'm always never above anyone else. So it's kind of like, that's what got me the total respect for my teammates and my coaches. And I mean, being around like all this talent and five stars, and yeah, there's like a couple players here and there who talk about it, but no one really talks about it because we're all just focused on one goal and focused on winning week by week. And we all realize the potential that is in front of us and the potential within us. And we're not going to let a couple stars tell us like where we're going to go in life. We just want to exceed all those expectations, exceed what everyone's thinking of us right now. And we just want to be so much better. And that kind of brings us all together, and it makes it really easy to be the quarterback of this team, because no one looks at me. I can't say that, but no one like has that perspective the same way as in Illinois, where it's very uncommon for the five stars to be in that area.
Now, you're getting snaps from Greg Crippen, your future teammate at Michigan. What's that been like? And have you been able to forge that much more of a bond now that you two are playing for the same school? Whereas, you know, when he committed to Michigan, you were still at Nazareth.
Mm-hmm. I mean, being with Greg, like for the past month and a half now, almost two, it's been eye opening, like I said before, of how similar we are and how the type of mold that Michigan's trying to bring in. And being with him, we've already grown so much together, and we're talking ball together, and we're like best buddies. We're best friends, and he can come to me with anything. I can come to him with anything. And I mean, he's the best. He's the absolute man. I've been around a couple of people who have the same sort of attitude that he has. And this kid's been at IMG for 4 years. Like, he's doing everything humanly possible to make sure he improves and gets better, to live up to those expectations he has for himself and exceed them. So being with him and just understanding his mindset has been something that's so beneficial going into Michigan.
Now, in a couple weeks, you're going to be playing Ravenwood, which features another Michigan commitment in Ginger Colson. I talked to Colson, and he said that if he finds an open lane to hit you, he's going to lay off a little bit because he doesn't want to injure his future quarterback. It's one thing to play in high school, but he recognizes that you're his QB in college. So what's it going to be like to meet? Because he's really excited to meet you and Greg. What's it going to be like to finally meet him? And what's your reaction when you hear him say that he's not going to go too hard on you?
Man, if I don't feel it after he hits me, I'm going to be very disappointed in him. As long as he doesn't go for my legs, I better feel something from him. I want to know, this is football. This is football. I want him to hit me. I want him to get that and show out. And once we get to Michigan, when he's on scout team, when he's on the defense, he's going to be coming. So I want him to get out there and just play ball and do whatever he needs to do. But it's going to be awesome meeting him because we've been Snapchatting all the time. And he just seems like such a great kid. And I can't wait to just meet him and just talk and build that relationship from the start and build it so early that once we go into Michigan, we're just going to be buds for life.
What's next for the 2021 class? I know there's a couple guys out there that you're trying to lure, whether it be Donovan Edwards or Rayshon Benny or Drew Kendall. What's next that as far as you can see, and how hard are you working to try to get any of the above, none of the above, maybe some other people to join you in Ann Arbor?
Yeah, those are three that I'm really, really trying to get. And I'm almost giving them their space because I know how rough it is. I know how many people are in their ear. And I just want them to make the best decision for them. I mean, they're all great kids, great human beings. They're going to go somewhere in life. So I want them to make the best decision for them. And if it is Michigan, they know the deal. They know that it's time to work. And that's the thing with those three is that they understand that and they're ready for it and they want it. And I'm thrilled if we get even one of those because those are three very big impact players.
Last one from me here. Give me your you're obviously selling Michigan quite a bit no matter where you are. Give me your pitch. Like, how do you try to get someone that maybe isn't even considering Michigan? You know, say someone transfers into IMG Academy. It's a guy that's not considering Michigan. He's considering Alabama and LSU and all of the above. What do you tell them about Michigan to try to get them to open their eyes a little bit?
Honestly, when I try to recruit Michigan, recruit kids to Michigan, it's like one of those scenarios, ask me any question, I'll tell you why Michigan's a good fit for it. Like, if you ask me, oh, how's the education? Oh, it's one of the best in the world. How's the strength and conditioning? Oh, well, we have one of the best strength coaches in the world. And the biggest question that I, like, get when I ask these recruits that is, oh, like, what about beating Ohio State and all this stuff like that. It's like, good that you're going to have the opportunity to be the ones who beat them and be the ones who be a part of that and just have that opportunity to just ignite a fan base that will love you and cherish you for decades. If you do, we do get over this hump. And I mean, this year was a great year. Next year is going to be even better. I mean, we just have such an opportunity in front of us. And a lot of kids don't realize that. I mean, Michigan hands down has proven over and over again how it's number one, top five public university in the country all the time. And when you add that with football tradition that it has, I mean, winning this program of all time, and people ask about the cold. Well, if you want to go in the NFL, you're going to play in the cold. So might as well get used to it. And it's like, what can you not possibly like about Michigan? It has everything. You might not like it sometimes, but it's the best for you. And it's the best for any athlete or any human who's trying to just strive to be the best they can be. So that's pretty much the pitch that I would give to them. And it's, it's one of those pitches that, like, ask me anything. It's really going to – everything that Michigan has is in your favor.
Well, if a recruiting interview isn't going to fire you up, I don't – and that one didn't – I don't know what will, man. I mean, what a tremendous young man, seriously. So, very cool stuff from JJ. We've only got a couple minutes left, literally. So, I'm going to spend about 3 to 4 minutes to talk about my impressions of my discussions with Will Johnson coming up in just a moment. All right. So, I spoke with Will Johnson at the SMSB 7-on-7 on Sunday. And if you aren't familiar, he is the son of Deion Johnson. He is a 5-star cornerback from Grosse Pointe South. And, I mean, he is an absolute must-get. There's several big schools in on him, whether it be, he said that Arizona State, Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan are after him the hardest. It does seem like Michigan is after him the hardest of all. So for those who are really big naysayers on Michigan's in-state recruiting, I mean, it's evident that they go after the big fish in Michigan. And Alan True, I did an interview with him from 24/7, my former colleague there. He had said that, you know, that's what Michigan's been. It's even back in the Lloyd Carr era when he was starting and recruiting and everything. Michigan tended to go after the big fish in Michigan, but, you know, he's like, he reminded me that, you know, they lost Jerome Bettis to Notre Dame. It's not, nothing's really changed despite narratives out there trying to make it sound like they have. So, with that in mind, I think that, I think Michigan's doing not just a good job, but a great job. Because it sounds like there is such a focus on bringing him in. And I had spoken to some people close to the program afterwards, and they said that the intention is for Michigan to recruit him until it gets him. That they aren't going to let up. It's a full court press. And that's kind of what I was able to get out of my conversation. Because, and listen, they're not alone. Because, like, Michigan's having a meet with Ben Herbert this week via Zoom, FaceTime, one or the other. You know, Ohio State and Oklahoma have done the same thing. But he is getting it, whereas, like, Ohio State, his point of contact is Kerry Combs, and that's it. Like, he doesn't have a relationship with Ryan Day, whereas here in Ann Arbor, he's got a relationship with Don Brown. He talks to Mike Zordich every single day. Got to credit Mike Zordich for being in that. And he said, we don't just talk football, and it's making, you know, it's, and that's what he wants. He wants to talk about what's going on in the world right now. Because that's important to him. The only other school that seems like it's close on that light is Arizona State, who's really pitching the all black Big Ten staff, or not Big Ten, but you know what's on my mind. The all black coaching staff. But Michigan's getting everyone involved. Jim Harbaugh, Sherrone Moore, Mike Zordich, Don Brown, Ben Herbert, all hands on deck for Michigan. I think that's going to put Michigan in a really good spot, and it's going to keep them there for until he makes a decision, whenever that might be. All right, that'll do it for us on a Tuesday night. We will be back either Wednesday or definitely Thursday. We'll 100% be back on Thursday for the mailbag as usual. You know, maybe we'll do more. If you guys like what we've got going on with these player interviews, maybe we'll air a little bit more. I also want to tell you to keep an eye out on Saturday on Wolverine's Wire, because I'm really excited about this. I thought it was cool. I thought, hey, we don't have a schedule to look forward to at this point, but Michigan was supposed to play Purdue on Saturday, right? So I reached out to my guy, John O'Korn, because the most memorable recent game in the last, I don't know, however long, at least definitely in as long as I've covered Michigan football, keeping in mind they've only played Purdue, what, once I've covered Michigan football, but I can't recall a really good memorable game against Purdue in the last 15 years or so. Maybe I'm just not thinking of it. So I talked to my guy, John O'Korn, for an hour for the oral history of the game in 2017 when he came in after Wilton Spate broke his back and helped lead Michigan to victory. He shared a lot of inside information and tidbits that I had no idea about. And I was pretty connected in that time, way more than I am now. So definitely highly recommend. And I can't wait for everyone to hear the whole story of that 2017 game. All right. That'll do it for us tonight. We'll be back when we're back. Peace.